Starrett Blade crouched in the rocks by the tiny Centaurian lake. It was only about 200 or 300 feet across, but probably thousands of feet deep. This lake, and hundreds of others like it, were the only things to break the monotony of the flat, rocky surface of Alpha Centauri III, called the most barren planet in space. 10 minutes ago, Star Blade's ship had spun into the stagnant waters before him, and emergency release had flung the airlock doors open, and the air pressure had flung Star out, and now he was waiting for Devil Garrett to come down to the water's edge to search for him. For 8 years, Devil Garrett had been the top space pirate in the void. For a year, Star himself had personally been hunting him, and on a tour over Alpha 3, a Bardon energy beam had stabbed up at Blade's ship, and Star Blade had crashed into the lake. That Bardon beam had Star worried and puzzled. It took 1,000,000 volts of power for a split-second flash of the beam. Garrett didn't have an atomics plant on Alpha 3. If he had, escaping rays would point it out, no matter how well it was camouflaged. There was no water power, for there was no running water. There were only the lakes, and tidal power was out, for Alpha 3 had no moon. However, that could wait. Star slid the electron knife from his waterproof sheath, gripped it firmly. He could hear quick footsteps as a man came down the trail that led directly past his hiding place. It wasn't Garrett, which was disappointing, but it was one of his men, and he was heavily armed. That didn't worry Star. His fighting had earned Starrett Blade the nickname of Death Star. The man walked to the water's edge and peered out over the pool. He saw the bubbles that were coming up from the sinking ship, and he nodded, grunted in satisfaction, and started to turn back. Star landed on him, knocking him sprawling on the rock. The pirate jerked up an arm, holding the jet gun. The stabbing lance of blue fire cracked from the electron knife, dug into the man's heart. Star tossed the dead pirate's cloak over his shoulders and thrust both electron blade and jet gun into his belt. He straightened and saw the leveled gun from the corner of his eye. He got the jet in his right hand, the knife in his left, and went into a dive that flipped him behind a rock. The three actions took only a split second, and the blast from the jet gun flaked rock where he had been standing. While a jet gun is the most deadly weapon known, you have to press a loading stud to slide another blast capsule into place. Death Star knew this very well, so he knew he was safe in coming up from behind the spur of stone to fire his own gun. If his reflexes hadn't been as quick as they were, he would have blasted the girl. He stopped and stood for a second, staring at the girl. She was something to invite stares too, in the moment that lasted between her next move. He had time to register that she was about 5 feet 5 tall, black-haired, the kind of black hair that looks like silken spun darkness, dark-eyed and possessing both a face and a form that would make anyone stop and gulp. Then the moment of half-awed survey was over, and she leveled the jet on him and said in a trembling voice, "Drop those weapons or I'll blast you, pirate!" Death Star said, "That jet gun is empty. I can see the register on the magazine. And I'm not a pirate. I'm Starrett Blade." The useless jet gun slid out of the girl's hand, and she gave a half gasp. "Starrett Blade, I don't believe..." She broke off abruptly. "So you're Death Star, a fine story for a hired killer, a pirate." Star reddened. "Look," he snapped, "I don't know who's been talking to you, but..." He whirled and his hand whipped the jet gun from his belt. As he did so, the girl jerked up the jet gun she had dropped and flung it with all her strength. The blow landed on his arm and side, and paralyzed him long enough for the man who had leaped out behind him to land a stunning blow against his head. As Starr went down, he dizzily cursed himself for becoming interested in the argument with the girl, so that he did not heed his reflexes in time. And, dimly, he wondered why it had seemed so important to convince the lovely dark-haired girl. Then a bit of the cosmos seemed to fall on Star's head, and he was hurled into blackness. An eternity seemed to pass. Deep in the blackness, a light was born. It leaped toward him, a faraway comet rocketing along, coming from some far, unknown corner of the galaxy. It became a flaming sun in a grey-green space, and strangely, there seemed to be several odd planets circling about the sun. Some of them were vast pieces of queer electronic machinery. Some were vague, villainous-looking men. One was the dark-haired girl, and there was lovely contempt in her dark star pools of eyes. Then, into the midst of this queer universe, there swam a new planet. It was the face of a man, and the man was Devil Garrett. That brought Star up out of his daze, onto his feet, as though he had been doused with cold water. He stood there, not staring, just looking at Garrett. The most famous killer in the void was big. He was 6'3" and twice as strong as he looked. He wore a huge high-velocity jet gun and a set of electron knives, all of the finest workmanship. He was sitting on a laboratory chair of steel, and the chair bent slightly under his great weight. He smiled at Star, and there was a touch of hell in the smile. He said, "Ah, Mr. Garrett." Star's jaw dropped. "Garrett, what do you—" he broke off. A glance at the girl told him what the purpose was. "Look, Mr. Devil Garrett," said the pirate, still smiling softly, "Miss Hinton is aware of your identity. There is no need to attempt to fool us. I've known it was you ever since I flashed that beam at your ship. And you needn't flatter yourself that the devil's luck is going to hold out as far as you are concerned. For in a very short while, I'm going to have you executed before a stellar vision screen connected with Section Void headquarters. I wish the authorities to see Devil Garrett die so that I might collect the reward that is offered on you." Star stood quiet and looked straight into Garrett's eyes. After a minute of silence, Garrett's lips twisted into a smile, and he said mockingly, "Well, pirate, what are you thinking of?" Star said in a low, cold voice, "I'm thinking of putting an electron fire blade into your face, Devil Garrett." Garrett laughed, huge, rather evil, bluff laughter, the mirth of a person who is both powerful and dangerous. And then the girl leaped forward, shaking with rage. "You beast! Murderer! To accuse this man! You fool, you might have been able to complete any scheme of escape you had if you hadn't called yourself Starrett Blade. Mr. Blade," she gestured towards Garrett, who made a mocking, sardonic bow, "has given me ample proof that he is who he says, and this long before you came. He's shown me papers giving a description and showing a tri-dimension picture of you." Fire leaped in Star's eyes. "Listen," he snapped furiously as he started to step forward. Then Garrett made a signal with his hand, and someone drove a fist against the base of Star's skull. When Star came to, he was in a cell of sorts. A man standing by the door told him that he was to be executed after Mr. Blade and the lady have eaten. Starrett swore at him, and the man went out with a mocking, "Goodbye, Mr. Garrett." Star got up, his head spun, and he almost fell at first, but the daze left in his head from the two blows quickly cleared away. He felt for various weapons which he had hidden about him, and found them gone. Garrett's men had searched carefully. Starr sat down, his head spinning more now from mystery than from physical pain. He had to keep himself in a whole skin, of course. That was most important right now. But other things were bothering him, tugging at his mind, like waves slapping around a swamped ship, each trying to shove it in a different direction. There was the girl. Starr wondered why she always leaped into his mind first. And there was the way Garrett was trying to leave the impression that he was Blade, so that he could kill Blade as Garrett. Obviously, the reason for that was the girl, Miss Hinton, Garrett had called her. She had been shown faked papers by Garrett, papers proving that the two were whatever Garrett had twisted the story into. Starr clutched at his head. He was in a mess. He was going to be killed, and he was going to die without knowing the score. And he didn't like that. Nor did he like dying as Starr Blade shouldn't die, executed as a wolf's head pirate. The girl would be watching, and he felt as if that would make it far worse. His head came up, and he smiled flintily. He still had an ace card. One hand felt for it, and he shook his head slowly. It was a gamble, but all the others had been found. Blade looked up quickly as the door opened. Two men came into the cell, carrying jet guns. They motioned Blade to his feet. "Come on, Blade," one began, when the other hit him across the mouth. "You fool," he hissed. "You better not call him that. Suppose that girl was to hear it. Until the boss gets what he wants on Earth, that girl has got to think that he's Blade. We're killing this guy as Devil Garrett, and a loudmouth fool like you. Look out!" Blade had landed on the bickering men and was grappling with the one who had called him by name, as the other leaped forward, swinging a clubbing blow with a jet gun. Starr tripped one man into the corner and ducked under the gun. He hit the man in the stomach, drove a shoulder up under his arms, and smashed the man's face in with a series of sharp blows. The man went reeling backward across the room, and Starr's hand leaped toward that ace card which he still held. Devil Garrett stepped in the door and made a mock out of a courteous bow. As he did so, Starr snarled in rage, but stood very still, for the electron knife in Garrett's hand did not waver. Garrett gestured silently toward the door, and Starr, equally silent, walked over and out at the point of the weapon.